Why death? Death is the part of our lives we are so very certain about, yet we fear the most. Hiding deep within anxiety, which is a current epidemic, lies the fear of death, ours or a loved one's. But what if I told you that people who embrace death and talk about it openly have a more full-spectrum life experience? We know it isn't your fault. We've been programmed to stuff our conversations and feelings surrounding end of life. By listening to other stories, you get invaluable practice. Our listeners feel more informed about what to do when they find themselves negotiating that inevitable terrain. Most of all, our listeners feel a personal expansion after sitting with someone's tender and fascinating story. That's why we say, listening will make you a better human. Promise. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for joining us for an episode of the Death Dialogues Project podcast. I'm your host for today, Kate Burns. My sincere hope is that no matter the reason you're tuning in, you will find something with which to relate and connect. But most importantly, I hope something you hear today brings you peace. Thanks for being with us. Shauna DeMellon is the creative founder of the Growing Up in Heaven program for mothers who want to connect and communicate with their children on the other side. Shauna's personal journey through the loss of her son Jack has paved a path for mothers to move from grief to relief as they learn to make the connection with their child in heaven. A powerhouse in the spiritual communication realms, Shauna's firsthand experience with loss and grief allow her to share a wealth of soulful and heartfelt tools and support on how to navigate loss and find true meaning in life again. She runs her business from her home in Canada and is the host of the Oracle of Light podcast. In her free time, Shauna enjoys kickboxing and working out, spending time in the mountains with family and friends, and her continued quest for the perfect cup of coffee. My conversation with Shauna was incredibly enlightening, and I believe that many people will find hope in Shauna's words as they navigate the loss of a child or perhaps know somebody who has. Thanks so much for being with us. All right. Tonight we have on the podcast Shauna. Shauna, how are you doing?
Hey, Kate. I am really, really well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just so excited to be here. And wow, there's just the energy. Just the energy is absolutely fantastic. So again, thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much for being here. It's been a little while now since Becky forwarded your information to me to chat with you about being on the podcast. And I'm sure that we'll get into some of that conversation for our listeners later. But for now, why don't you let our listeners know where you are in the world? And then if you just want to start out by sharing a little bit about your story of death and grief, and we'll just chat from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We are nestled right next to the Rocky Mountains. So for people who are familiar with North America, we are right above Montana. So I'm born and raised, and it's absolutely beautiful here. Absolutely beautiful. And now my journey with, mediumship and death, when I was a little girl, I saw spirit everywhere, and I called them the see-through people. And I thought everyone saw what I saw. Like I saw, crossover loved ones. I saw, my relatives. I saw, our cats and our dogs. And I also saw angels and other energies that were sort of around people and sort of behind them. And we went to Catholic school. And so, going to a Catholic school, that wasn't something that, we readily talked about. I mean, this was, a few years ago. I won't completely date myself, but it was, we didn't have TV shows. We didn't have books. We didn't have, paranormal investigations. And, we didn't have anyone really normalizing what, spirit communication was, what mediumship was. We didn't really talk about, is there life after death? What happens when you die? So, I started to sort of shut down my gifts and abilities because I wanted to fit in, because I wanted to have people to have lunch with who would play with me. So I sort of shut things down. It was always kind of on the back burner. And it was years later when I had an accident. This was about, I want to say about 16 years ago. I rode the zip line here in Calgary and my parachute didn't open. Oh. So the injuries from that, it was in my cervical spine and my neck. And it would take 6 years to get the correct diagnosis. And through the healing from that accident, you know, it was interesting because a lot of doctors were like, you know, no, you need to see the specialist. You need to see the specialist. And I would go through specialist after specialist after specialist. And they'd say, no, there's nothing else we can do. You just have to live with the injuries. You have to live with the pain. We'll just give you another prescription. And I kept saying, no, there's a way. No, there's a way. There's more for me. There's more for me. And so it was interesting. So I was at a convention here in Calgary and I met a woman that did Reiki. And I was instantly drawn to her and I thought, what the heck is Reiki? What is that? So I had a Reiki session and she said in the session, you know, you're going to, you'll become a Reiki master as well. And you're going to start working with the deceased, you know, people who have crossed over. And I looked at her and I said, no, I don't think so. No. And I said, I'm not touching people either. I said, that's not my thing. So I became, right? And sure enough, you know, about a year later, here I am, I'm a Reiki master and people started asking for Reiki. So I would, had a little room in the house and people would come in and they would have their Reiki sessions. And it was in those sessions that the loved ones started to pop in again. And it was just like, wow, nicely played, universe. Like that was crazy. It was just like, what? Mm-hmm. So then, I started to relay information and, you know, give messages to people. And then about 9-10 years ago, my husband at the time and I, we had decided to have another baby. And Jack, you know, it's funny, my daughter Emma would run around the house saying, when is Jack coming in your tummy? When's he going to be here? He's here. I've got so much to show him. And so she saw Jack. I saw Jack. He was in my dreams every night. And we had been going through the in vitro process and things didn't go according to plan. So we lost Jack and he still comes in every day. And it was funny because while I've relayed information, I've channeled pets, I think the strangest animal was probably an iguana. I guess maybe they're called a reptile, but yeah, I've channeled, you know, birds and cats and dogs and grandparents and mothers and spouses and children. And over time, my main focus and the majority of people that booked in with me were mothers who had lost children and who were really looking for some semblance of hope and meaning and purpose in their lives again. So we fast forward to today, and I have a practice here in Calgary. So I work one-on-one with clients, and I have clients all over the world. So thankfully, Zoom is my best friend. I also teach classes. I teach mediumship, and we've got a program that teaches mothers to connect with their children on the other side. And yeah, just it's sort of taken on a world, a life of its own, if you will. And so, you know, talking about death and grieving and, you know, the loss of loved ones is just really an everyday for me.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I know that we talked a little bit, but I want to make sure that our listeners know a little bit about what Reiki is. I've only seen it done once, but if you can explain a little bit about that, I think that'll be helpful to inform some folks as we move through our conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I like to share it from this perspective. So if anyone who's listening has ever done yoga, and you know, at the end of your yoga session, you're just, you're in the savasana and you're totally relaxing and you can feel the energy just flowing through your body. And it just feels heavenly and you feel calm and peaceful. Well, that is what Reiki will give you. So Reiki I'm basically the channel that's pulling down the energy to replenish the energy of the person who's receiving the Reiki. So it's, you know, usually on a massage bed, fully clothed, the mom and me tucks everybody in. And most people actually sleep. It's very, very relaxing. And so it's rebalancing the energy systems. It's rebalancing the meridian systems, the meridians that run through the body. It's rebalancing our light bodies. So if anyone is familiar with the term, the aura, our energy that surrounds our physical body. And we also have energy centers inside our body, which are called chakras. And so these are kind of like our batteries. These give us our energy. And so we have a finite amount of energy every day. And then throughout the day, that energy is depleted, or, you know, we're tired, or, you know, maybe we're super busy, or we're stressed, or, you know, we're anxious, or we've lost a loved one. I mean, grief can really start to impact our energy field and how we're feeling. So Reiki will replenish those levels and top things up. And it helps people through their grief. It helps people just to have a moment. Have a moment of peace and be able to just receive the energy and just be in that receptive state. And it just, I find a lot of times, you know, people will book in for a Reiki session when things just don't feel like they're shifting, like things feel stagnant. Like it's just like, things are just not working as well as I'd hoped. Or, you know, I've really had a lot of stress in my life and I've lost a loved one, and, you know, things at work are shifting and things in my relationships are changing. And so again, the Reiki will just sort of bring a sense of peace and calm and just everything is okay in the world. And again, it tops up those energy levels. So then we just feel more alive. We feel more vibrant. Yeah, I hope that explains that. That's Reiki in a nutshell. Yes,
it does. It explains it. I appreciate you kind of filling us in on that. I know that there are so many different things, that tools that people use as they move through their grief. And one of the things that's been really important to me as I've kind of gotten more involved with the podcast is to just add more tools to people's toolboxes. And, you know, if something's not, try and move to the next thing, and maybe Reiki is something that could be helpful for some of the folks out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to make sure that I have the timeline straight. I'm a visual person, and so I'm trying to kind of visualize your journey. So I know that, and you may have said this already, but I know that the last time we talked, you talked about it had been 9 years since you had lost Jack, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And where was the time frame? When did you start kind of getting involved in Reiki? How long before or after you lost Jack did that happen?
So 16 years ago, I had the accident, and then about 6 years after that. So about 10 years ago, that was when I really started to delve into the metaphysical world, the alternative healing. Like I'd mentioned earlier, I'd gone to specialist after specialist, and they said, no, you'll just have to live with the injuries. You'll just have to, you know, just incorporate this into your life. And I just kept thinking, no, there's more. And so, that's when I had my first Reiki session, and then I became a Reiki master and teacher and learned it, and then began offering it to people. So about 10 years ago was when it really started to open up. And okay. Yeah, it really did. And it was just such a, it, you know, it's, I call it our spiritual toolbox. I always, you know, that's what I refer to with my clients and students, that we all have a spiritual toolbox. So I love to, you know, replenish that box, or, you know, add new things into it. And so definitely Reiki and prayer and mantras and, you know, things like oracle cards, or, you know, if there are certain books and, you know, mala beads and, you know, pendulums. I mean, there are just so many different things that we can put in our spiritual toolbox. And when I lost Jack, it was like I dumped out my spiritual toolbox, and nothing was helping. Nothing was helping me to move through the grief. Nothing was helping to even touch the grief. I think I was in shock for 3 years after that. And so, you know, through the Reiki community, if you will, I was able to find people that had also had losses, who had also lost children. And so it was just nice to have that community of people who understood what I was going through, what I was experiencing. And I find the Reiki just always helps to bring me back to my center. It's just replenishing those energies that just can quickly become depleted if we're stressed, especially if we've lost a loved one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to know. I'm wondering if you're comfortable talking about, you said that you had tried in vitro, it didn't pan out the way that you were hoping. Are you comfortable sharing more about that journey?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we had everything lined up, and for anyone who's gone through the in vitro journey, I mean, it's, you know, I think we were given a 15% chance. And so we were, you know, kind of against the odds with it. And, you know, it's, you know, the doctor's appointments and the testing and getting everything ready. And, yeah, we thought that everything was ready and good to go. And then they just informed us that, you know, no, things were not viable, which is unfortunate. And we lost Jack. And so it wasn't very, very far into the journey, that I lost him, but it was, you know, it's interesting because through my experience, I'm able to give a voice to women who have had miscarriages, who have had failed IVF, who have had ectopic pregnancies, who haven't had a physical child, but they've lost that child. And so it's been beautiful. You know, I mean, I can look back now and say, well, there's a blessing from what I've gone through, that I can help women who have had that sort of a loss, give them a voice and to just acknowledge that even though that child didn't come into the physical, that was a loss. You experienced a loss. You connected to that child energetically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, on every other level. And oftentimes, you know, physical, if it was a miscarriage, if it was ectopic, I mean, there, you know, it just it sort of, you know, it gives them a voice. It helps them to understand. You know, a lot of people would say to me, oh, well, what's the big deal? You can just try again. What's the big deal? You can, you know, if it doesn't work, you can adopt. You could do so many other things. You know, what's the big deal? And that was crushing. And, you know, something that I teach now is, you know, there was an interview that Brené Brown did, I think it was with Oprah, and she said, it's very important that you surround yourself with people who have earned the right to hear your story. Mm-hmm. Because if they haven't earned the right to hear your story and you share your story, and it's not that they're bad or they're wrong, it's just if they don't have the capacity to hold space for that, whether it's a loss, whether, you know, whatever it is, we can end up feeling shamed or guilty, or we start to close down, or we feel bad, or we feel wrong. And it just creates this disconnect. And so it was, you know, through my experience that I was able to, now I'm able to help other women who have lost children really navigate that. And really, you know, a lot of people just don't have the capacity to hold that sacred space. You know, I remember my daughter came home one day and I just finished up a day of clients and she said, Mom, why do you always have Kleenex on the table? I said, well, my sweetheart, I said, you know, Mama creates a sacred space for people and I'm holding their heart and I'm allowing them to heal and shift and grieve and whatever they need to experience. And we need Kleenex for that. I said, it's just part of what I do. And it's a safe place for people to experience that and start to delve into it. And, you know, a lot of people who come to me, they don't even realize where they are on that spectrum after they've lost a loved one. I mean, there's the grieving, you know, we grieve internally. That's, you know, our sleep may be disrupted. Our appetite may not be the same. We may have thoughts. We may have worries. We may feel sadness. And then as we move into mourning, mourning is the outward expression. And through mourning, sometimes we see people wearing black. That's where the tears come from. And it's through grieving that we move into mourning. And then finally, we reconcile that our loved one is no longer here in the physical, but that we have a different relationship. We can have a different relationship with them if we choose to.
How long did it take you to get to a place where you were able to reconcile that?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh my gosh. The first few years after we lost Jack, and there was no other option for us. Like it was just, that was our one shot and it didn't work. And yes, you know, again, people said, well, you could get other eggs and you could get donors and you could do this and you could do that. And it just wasn't in alignment. It just didn't feel like, it just didn't connect with my heart, or it just didn't work. So the first few years after I lost him, I was just in shock. I just couldn't even comprehend that he was gone. And I literally threw myself into work and volunteering at my daughter's school. Like I volunteered every week. I made cupcakes. I was the craft mom. I like delved into everything I possibly could to avoid even looking at it. And I was guided. There was a psychic that I'd worked with, and she had actually said, you know, it's not a big deal. You need to get over it. You know, life goes on. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I was absolutely devastated. I think I cried for 2 weeks after that. And then I was in a meditation, and I just remember asking, what else is possible? What can I do to help this? What can I do? What am I missing? What else is possible? And that's when they said, you need to reach out to a woman. Her name is Laurel. They said, you need to have a session with Laurel. She has angelic energy. She's loving. She can hold space for what you're going through. So I reached out to Laurel the next day, booked a session. And in that session, she said, well, Shauna, have you spoken to Jack? I said, no, I can't connect with him. I said, he's gone. Like I haven't been able to connect to him. I don't understand what's happened. And she said, well, it's because you're in such a deep grief that energy just doesn't align with making that connection with him. And she said, we're going to look at that today. And then she said, can you look up? And so I looked up into the corner of the room, and there was this beautiful angelic being that walked in, and she was holding hands with this little boy. And they walked up to me, and I just sat there, and I was in total disbelief. And all I heard him say was, Mama, it's me. And he just, you know, in my mind, I grabbed a hold of him, and I was holding him and you know, crying and just looking at his little face, because again, I wasn't able to connect with him for years. And, you know, people would say to me, well, you're a medium. What's the big deal? Just talk to him. And I couldn't. So it was from that moment forward, that moment that I gave myself permission. She actually said to me, Laurel said to me, you need to give your loss the dignity that it needs and just go through it and just honor the loss and just grieve and mourn him. And so I did. And so it was soon after that that I began to find heart rocks everywhere. And so I talk about this all the time with people on my podcast and everywhere, but my sign from Jack are heart rocks. And so I find them absolutely everywhere. And, you know, we'd chatted a bit about that, right? Like just the signs from heaven are just so fantastic. And so, yeah. And it would take me, I would say it took me a good couple of years to fully grieve him. I mean, even though I could connect with him and I could feel him around me and I could sense him and I found the heart rocks and he was in my dreams, I still had to grieve him and mourn him. And then finally one day it's funny, I tell people I didn't wear mascara for 2 years because I didn't know when I was going to start crying. I didn't know right when I was going to be triggered, or I would hear someone say Jack, or I would see a little boy that looked like him, or just whatever. It could be anything or nothing or all wrapped up. And I knew that I had shifted. There was one day where I got ready to go out. I was going to an event and I put mascara on and I did my makeup and I went. And at the end of the day, I sat down and I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't cry today. I didn't cry once today. And it was in that moment I thought, okay, I've got this. And yeah, there's still moments where I would give anything to have him here in the physical. There are still moments where, you know, I would love to be watching him growing up here with me, but it's, you know, it's a blessing to be able to connect with him and to be able to see what he's doing on the other side and to be able to help other mothers who have lost children as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's amazing the impact that other people can have on our grief and how sometimes it feels like the things that they say hold us back even more. And then you find that one person who seems to get you and can hold that space for you, and how it can completely transform that journey.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll share one quick story with you if that's okay. There was a family that had reached out to me, a husband that had reached out to me, I want to say about 8 or 9 years ago. And he said, I don't know really what you do, but I just felt like I needed to call you. He said, you know, my wife just, she just hasn't been the same. And I don't know what to do for her. And I wanted to get buy a session for her? Does that happen? I said, oh gosh, yeah, absolutely. He said, okay, okay, I want to buy her a session. I said, oh, well, that's very sweet. And so we got everything figured out. And I said to him, I said, okay, well, just, you know, give her this information. And when she's ready, then just, you know, have her contact me. So about a month later, she reached out and she said, I don't know why I'm here. But she said, you know, my husband said I should come and see you and my family. They're trying to help me. And I just don't feel good. And I said, absolutely. So she came in and she sat down and just a side note, I always ask permission, to share personal stories with people. We change the names, but I always ask permission. And so she sat down and we got started and she was despondent and she just sort of looked at me and she said, I feel absolutely hopeless. She said, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. She said, I just feel absolutely hopeless. And I said to her, well, there is someone here by the name of Trevor who would like to connect with you. And she started crying. I'll never forget. She just was crying and sobbing uncontrollably. And she was shaking and she was just absolutely heartbroken. And she stayed this way. From my training and background, whenever someone is having a release like that, we just hold space. We just let them release. We don't interrupt it. We just let it be what it needs to, however long they need to do that. And so she cried for about 15 or 20 minutes. And then she dried her eyes and she just looked at me and she said, Trevor was the name of our baby that we lost at 6 months. And we hadn't told our family and friends yet. We were so excited to tell everybody, but we were just holding off. And she said, I'm blown away. And she said, that was the name that we had given him. And so it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience. And then, so we finished up the session. And then I want to say a few days later, her husband called and he said, I don't know what you did and I don't get what you do. But he said, you gave me my wife back. And he said, I have to thank you for that. He said, that is just from the bottom of my heart. And they, I think they've had 6 babies by now. They've just turned into a baby machine factory. It was absolutely fantastic. And so that, yeah, sometimes people ask me, is heaven real? Is it real? And from my perspective, it is. I mean, life continues. This reality that we're in isn't the end all be all, that our life journey does continue on the other side and that we can connect and we can experience our loved ones who have left the physical. That connection is still there. That love never dies. That connection is available to everyone.
You know, I've spoken with a few people who are mediums through this podcast. I've only spoken with one who's not associated with the podcast. And it seems to be that's kind of the general consensus, is that there's life that continues on. And, it's a fascinating concept to me. And I know I've shared before on here and also in our conversation, whenever that was that we spoke, that I've just had a terrible experience with the medium, and talking with some people on here, including yourself, it's made me so much more curious. And so I always sure appreciate kind of the explanations of what your abilities are, and so thank you for sharing that. The question that comes to my mind, you talked a little bit about you were young when you started seeing people and family, pets, and things like that. Do you remember around what age you started seeing that?
The age that I've always sort of, I can remember different events. I was 5. So I was around 5. And so here in Canada, that would be, starting kindergarten, before we go into grade 1. And so that was the age that it's most, that's when I really started to notice the crossover loved ones everywhere. And that was also when, there are little snapshots before that age as well. Before that time, there are little snapshots of different things that I do remember. But it was at 5 that I would see the crossover loved ones everywhere, and these angelic looking beings and just different energies around people. And that's when the psychic side started to kick in as well. It used to infuriate my mother. It was really quite funny. the phone would ring and I'd be like, "It's grandma calling." And she would look at me and she'd just be like, "What?" And she would answer the phone, "Oh, hi, mom." And then I would just be like, "Ha ha, I told you that." And so, yeah, it was around five is when everything was kind of out and about. And yeah. And it was, and like I said, you know, over time, I remember mentioning it to my friends. I remember saying, "Do you see that guy standing over there behind, you know, the principal or the teacher? Do you see that guy behind her?" And they'd look at me going, "No, what are you talking about?" and this happened, you know, quite frequently. And over, after a while, I was like, "Oh, they don't see what I see." And I just started to feel really different and really weird. And same thing in my family. I mean, no one in my family saw what I saw or experienced it. My mother would get really angry and she would just say, "Why do you say such crazy stuff? There's nothing there. Like, that's just, no, it's crazy." And I used to have sleep with a light on because, you know, spirit activity it's common for spirit activity to be more active at night. It just is. And so, yeah, I used to sleep with a light on and my mom used to always, you know, come in and shut the light off. "Oh, come on, just seriously, there's nothing there." It was just, yeah. And like I said, you know, there's so many movies now. And like I said, books and TV shows and, you know, so many more people talking about mediumship and spiritual gifts. And, you know, like I tell people, you know, everyone has intuitive abilities and mediumship abilities and psychic abilities. And they're all just on a different frequency. You know, if you imagine a radio dial, you know, we're dialing into our intuition and then we can dial into the angelic realm. Then we can dial into the mediumship, our loved ones. And so it's, you know, having an understanding that they're all different frequencies and different energies that anyone can start to connect into if they feel guided to, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So when you were a kid and this was happening, kind of the first few times you realized it, or maybe even longer after, were you scared?
Oh God, yeah. I was just, there was, you know, and it's funny because there were, you know, I'd be at school and I would, you know, go to get a drink of water and there would be, you know, a spirit standing there and I would, you know, people who've left the physical, they can tell who can see them and who can't. I'm not even sure what it is. Like sometimes to me, it looks like I have a light. It's like I have a different light above the top of my head where the energies are flowing. And then whenever, you know, it's almost like they can see that and it's like, "Hey, you know, I'm here. Hey." and yeah. And there were lots of times where I would like run screaming back to the classroom and just be like, "What the hell? Just what was that? What's going on?" And yeah, I mean, there's been, you know, I do ghost busting now. It doesn't faze me. But yeah, as a little girl, I didn't understand. And when I would go home and try to talk about with my mother, she would get infuriated. Like, "What's wrong with you? Why are you talking about this stuff? Like, this is, there's something wrong with you. No, we need to go to church." And it wasn't something that was readily available or readily talked about. And so it's interesting because yeah, it's, yeah, over time, you know, there isn't anything that really scares me now because I always tell people, "You have the physical body." I said, "Really?" I said, "You have the physical body." I said, "Energies that are floating around or that are around us, if you want to call them ghosts or earthbound spirits or whatever you want to call them, you know, they don't have a physical body. So they don't have the power that people seem to think that they do. Like you're not going to be possessed. You're not going to be taken mm-hmm. over." You know, I always tell people, you know, it's very much like the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. I mean, are there, you know, lower frequencies, dark energies on the planet? There are, but we don't focus on them. You know, I mean, I'm aware that they're there, but when we focus on the light, those sorts of things don't have an impact on us.
I have so many questions swirling around in my mind right now. I'm not going to focus on the dark energies, that's for sure, as I like look over at the darkness out my window. Wish I would have pulled the blinds closed. No.
I laugh, but I can appreciate it, right? Like when people are scared of what they don't understand. And so oftentimes it doesn't happen very often anymore, but I would meet someone, you know, at an event. And as soon as they knew that I was a medium, it's like I had horns of the devil on me or something. It was just like, you know, 50% of the people are like really kind of curious. And the other 50 are like, you're the spawn of the devil. There's something wrong with you. It's not real. Like they would just, you know, not attacking, but it just, you know, and I found over the years that people that would challenge what I do and the validity of it, and it's not real and it's fake and come on, like that's just bogus. They actually had a loss or a trauma that they hadn't fully processed and healed from. So it was really interesting when you start to look at it. And so, yeah, people are often scared of what they don't understand. And, you know, there were years where I had, as my gifts really began to reopen again after the accident, I couldn't go to restaurants. I wasn't able to go to concerts. Like I couldn't be around big groups of people because there were that many, if not more, crossover loved ones. And I would start to panic and I had a panic attack and I would have anxiety attacks. And it was really difficult to function. And until I learned that it was spirit just trying to get my attention, that everything that I was aware of wasn't a bad thing. It was just, you know, and I tell people, once we acknowledge what we're aware of, then it just takes the energetic charge off so that we don't need to necessarily be afraid of it. It's just, oh, okay, it's my grandma. Okay, all right, I got this. What do we do with this? And you know, it's, you know, Hollywood's done this incredible job of depicting what spirit communication isn't. I don't conjure up the dead. I'm not, you know, we do hold a seance every Halloween just because it's Halloween and I'm a medium and that's what you have to do. And, but the energies are contained and I wouldn't be doing it if I hadn't mastered it. And it's like anything, it's your intention. So my intention is to connect with the light. My intention is to bring forward messages from our loved ones who have crossed over. My intention is to uplift and support and help people to heal and gain clarity. You know, my intention isn't to open portals to God knows where. My intention isn't to use Ouija boards. My, you know, and not to say that those are wrong things to do or that they're bad. It's just not my thing. It's just not my flavor. It's, you know, it's mediumship is a real gift and capacity. And I, you know, when I first started doing readings, I thought, you know, I want to make sure that I create a sacred, safe place for people for their journey. And I don't try to convince people that it's real. I just present the information. It's almost like giving cookie samples, you know, would you like one? No. Would you like one? Yes. Would you like one? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. You know, so yeah. I just present the information. And I almost tell people, you know, it's so important to follow what's true for you. Like I'm not your guru. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I can point you in the right direction. I can help you to find clarity. And it's really more about empowering people. And, you know, I love debunking a lot of the, I won't call it silliness, but it's just a lot of the stuff around channeling and, you know, connecting with the other side and, you know, and what that looks like. And, I have people ask me, you know, every day. I have tons of people asking me questions every day and I love answering them because it's my perspective. It's how I see things. And yeah, I see things. I equate it to like a Rubik's cube. I may read the blue side and the next medium may read the red side and we may cross, you know, it's how we interpret the energy and what that looks like.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we could sit here and talk about this for hours on end because like I said, just a million questions. I want to actually pivot back to something that I don't think that we've really talked much about today, but we talked a little bit about your daughter when we spoke on the phone a while back. And I know that some of our listeners may be dealing with the loss of a child and while they're also parenting another child. And I'm wondering if you can speak to that in terms of you know, how that conversation went with, was her name, is her name Emma? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I had written it down and I wanted to make sure that's who I was talking about. yep. But speak a little bit to kind of how old Emma was and what that conversation looked like, since she had already kind of known that Jack was coming and was so excited, and how you helped her navigate that while you were navigating that significant loss as well.
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Oh my gosh. I just love that. So yeah, you, just to give a little bit more, Emma had a big sister t-shirt. She had a pile of books that she was going to read to Jack. She was a list maker. So she had like a list of everything that she needed to teach him and show him. And again, you know, he was in the house. He was energetically in the house. You know, children often have imaginary friends. And so, yeah, they would, you know, she would be sitting on the couch reading and there's, you know, there's Jack beside her. And so he was very much a part of our family already. And he was, you know, it was so exciting. It was so exciting to talk about, getting ready for him and getting everything, you know, figuring out where the nursery was going to be and what that was going to look like. And, again, you know, our family and friends knew, like everybody knew, and we were just so thrilled. And I remember she came home from school, and she just instantly looked at me and she said, she just looked at me and she ran over to me and gave me a big hug. And she said, oh no. And she said, what's happened? What's going on? And of course, I mean, she's also, you know, she's also gifted. And it was very difficult. You know, she would ask, you know, well, why can't we try again? Why can't the doctors fix this? Why can't they make it work? And, you know, I really wanted to be a big sister and why can't we figure this out? And so it was a very difficult conversation. And, you know, we just, you know, we treaded as lightly as we could. And, you know, in the midst of processing it myself, you know, as we were trying to process and understand what had happened and, you know, just reassuring her that we loved her and that it just wasn't meant to be, and that he was still very much there and that she could still connect to him and that she was still his big sister. That was the big thing that I remember telling her: you are still his big sister and he's still going to look up to you. And there are so many books that you need to show him and so many things. And he's going to, and then she said, you know, she would say stuff like, is he going to come to school with me still? I said, absolutely. He's going to go to school with you. He's going to be there with you. He's going to grow up with you, baby. And it's okay. And, you know, there were tears and she was sad and she went through her own grieving process where, you know, she was angry and mad. And then she was like, why would God do something like this? And, you know, then she got really quiet sometimes and she just, you know, was introspective about it. And then she would draw pictures of Jack and, it was very difficult. And it was, I found it was almost the best word to describe it was cathartic. It was very cathartic to travel alongside her with her loss, because she lost her brother, and to honor what she was experiencing and what she was feeling. And I found that in time, she didn't, maybe about a few months, I found that she didn't bring Jack up as much. She didn't talk about him as much. Like he was still there and we would go out and find heart rocks from him. And, but yeah, it's like she continued on her journey, her life was unfolding and, you know, as she was growing up. And so it was almost like she was able to reconcile it much quicker than I did. That was for sure. But yeah, I think it's just really important to be open and vulnerable and to answer questions. And I remember I kept saying to her, if you have any questions, please let me know. We can talk about it as often as you need. We can cry, we can have ice cream, we can go find heart rocks, whatever you need, you know, and each child is different. You know, I've read for some families where the children are like, oh, he's not coming in, and that's okay. He was in my mom's tummy, but he's not here. Or, you know, if their sibling was here in the physical, if they were older and they've had that loss, you know, some children are, it's like they're able to, it's almost like they just go through it quicker. They're just like, okay, this is what's happened. And there's this acceptance. It's really quite beautiful. But yeah, I found what was difficult, the most difficult is reading for mothers, you know, women who have lost children and that was their only child, mm-hmm. because they don't feel like they're a mother anymore. And that is gut-wrenching. That is so difficult. And I have said it 1,000 times, and I'm sure I'll say it thousands of times again in the future, is that you will always be that child's mother. Always, 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 mm-hmm. always. No one can take that from you. So yeah, I hope that answered your question.
It definitely did. And I really like that last bit of advice that you gave, you know, for any of our listeners who have, you know, experiencing something similar and are maybe struggling with that thought, you know, this is the reason we put this podcast out in the universe, is for people to hear that when, you know, not everybody's always able to go and have these conversations. Maybe they don't necessarily want to go see a medium or go see a therapist, or maybe they can't even talk with their spouse about it. But hearing those words, I imagine, is going to be really impactful for some people out there. And so I appreciate you saying that. And I know a lot of people will as well. We're coming into about 43 minutes, and I want to make sure we talk a little bit about your podcast for people to be able to go out and find that. They may be able to get some more tools and resources for you. So do you want to share a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. The podcast is titled The Oracle of Light, and you can find it on iTunes, Spotify. I think we're on Google, we're on Podbean. There are a few different platforms, but it's definitely on iTunes and Spotify. And you know, the podcast started a few years ago, and it was really about, you know, I'm also a life coach. So it was, you know, giving people tools, you know, tools for clarity and to live a full, rich life. And then it turned into the spirituality and, you know, how do I connect with angels? And is that my crossover loved one? And what are the signs? And so, we have, you know, so many different categories that we've chatted about over these last few years. And then most recently in the last year, the focus has been on, mothers who have lost children. And, you know, what that looks like and what that feels like when you're working through that. And so thank you again. It's the Oracle of Light.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure a lot of people will be venturing over to your podcast as well. Is there anything that you want to add as we kind of wrap up this conversation?
I just want to, again, thank you so much for connecting and for the opportunity to share the work that I love to do. You know, whether or not you believe in mediumship or in mediums, if you think of your loved one and just connect into your heart space and just bring all of your attention down into your heart, that's where they connect with you. So you may think of them, you may feel them. You know, there are different ways that you can experience your loved ones from the other side. And if that's something that resonates with you, definitely find a medium or reach out. I would love to take you further on that journey, because it's, you know, again, that connection is there and love never dies.
Definitely. And how can people get a hold of you if they would like to have a reading from you?
Oh, absolutely. You can visit my website. It's livealifeyoulove.org. LIVEALA. I'm trying to think, how do I spell that again? LIVEALIFEYOULOVE.org. Livealifeyoulove.org. I'm also on social media. You can find me on Instagram, Shauna DeMellon Medium. You can find me on Facebook, Shauna DeMellon. Yeah, I would love that. Even if you have questions, or you'd love to share something, or, you know, if you have signs from your children on the other side or your loved ones on the other side, I love to hear about the signs. I'm all about the signs. So anything at all, if you would like to reach out, I would love to hear from you.
Wonderful. Shauna, thank you so much for having this conversation with me tonight. It's been a pleasure. Even though we don't necessarily talk about happy things, it's always nice to connect with people. And I really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
We hope you've enjoyed your time with us today. We'd love for you to get further connected with our project. You can find the links in the podcast information. You can also find the Death Dialogues Project on Facebook, on Instagram, and at www.deathdialogues.net. Take good care and see you next time.